Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we come into this place to hear once again the good news of your salvation. Still our minds, that we may be able to hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. O Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So today on Palm Sunday, we stand on the leading edge of what feels very much like the story at the center of our faith. As Jesus makes his way down the Mount of Olives and into the city, into Jerusalem, it's a story many of us probably know well. As Phil read for us, Jesus tells his disciples to go and get a colt for him to ride off into the city. And as he rode into Jerusalem, all along the way, the followers of Jesus lined his path, laying down their cloaks as a makeshift road. And depending on what gospel you read, they were shouting, "Hosanna," and waving their palm branches. As the story goes, this triumphal entry happened at Passover, that festival where the people remembered the Exodus, that story of how God liberated them from their oppression in Egypt. It was a festival where once a year thousands of pilgrims would make their way to Jerusalem. Some say it could have been as many as 250,000 people who made their way to Jerusalem, inundating this city that was normally about 40,000. And on this day, when the crowds of people saw this one who was rumored to have cast out demons and healed the sick, the one who had welcomed all of those who were despised and even raised someone from the dead, when the crowd saw him riding into Jerusalem on a colt at Passover, it seems that suddenly everything clicked into place for them. The city coming into view, the frustrations and hopes of getting out from under the iron fist of the Roman Empire. You can almost hear this ragtag bunch of outsiders and cast-asides. These left behind, often peasant people, the fishermen, the tax collectors, the harlots, the blind ones, the beggars. You can almost hear them saying to one another, "Of course, this is the one. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the one who's going to restore us." And with grand hopes, dancing in their imaginations, they began to shout with joy, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." It was a powerful moment, and no doubt one filled with patriotic fervor and the undertones, if not straight up sounds of revolution, as the followers of Jesus shouted for a king, riding into the city in direct defiance of the king already enthroned there. Never mind the emperor who ruled over them all. It was a moment filled with fragile possibility. Their hope riding on that borrowed colt. And yet just a few days later, the whole scene is entirely different. In Jerusalem, Jesus is arrested, and instead of fighting back, he tells his disciples to holster their weapons. At the trial, he doesn't defend himself, and the people gathered outside cry out for Barabbas instead of Jesus, and they shout, "Crucify him." It's hard to imagine the psychological and emotional whiplash that the followers of Jesus experienced over those few days. As Jesus rides into the city, the crowds are so sure of themselves. They're certain this is the one who can save them. As Pastor Kyle mentioned, not in our story today, but in the other Gospels, the people are shouting, "Hosanna!" Which is now not so much a shout of joy as much as it is a cry for salvation, for freedom, for liberation. "Hosanna, save us now!" And now, instead of riding a colt into the city, Jesus is carrying a cross out of it. Ah, what might have been. If only Jesus had seized the moment. If only God would have fulfilled the fragile hopes and dreams of those Jesus followers. Earlier this week, as I thought about how the followers of Jesus must have experienced this turn of events, I thought about how throughout the whole story, and particularly in this moment, how they projected their expectations onto Jesus. In that moment, as they laid their cloaks down in front of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, they were certain that Jesus was going to lead the revolution and overthrow the empire. They were certain that Jesus would liberate them and defeat the Romans. They were certain that Jesus was the one. And they were all wrong. Or should I say they were right that Jesus would free them, just not at all how they were expecting it. At the risk of being too harsh on a people we just read about in a book, it's as if they loved their idea of Jesus more than Jesus. That's why I wonder if this story of Palm Sunday, the story of triumphal entry with all its pageantry, is at least in part a cautionary tale for us. A tale that invites us to consider our tendency to project onto Jesus and onto God our expectations of how Jesus will save us. Our tendency to be certain about who we think this Jesus is and what he taught. And if we find ourselves thinking that we have it all figured out, that we are the ones who get it right, perhaps this Palm Sunday story encourages us to hit pause and to reconsider, to be open to the possibility that we might not have it quite figured out, and ask ourselves if we love our idea of Jesus more than Jesus. Doubt is not a pleasant condition, Voltaire once wrote. But certitude is absurd. But at the risk of embracing the absurd, perhaps the one thing we can be certain about is that the God that Jesus reveals is entirely unexpected, and that maybe our vision has been so shaped by systems of power and of fear and of merit that we can't see the God who, instead of exacting retribution and revenge, reaches out again and again in love and mercy. The God who seeks after those things that make for peace and welcomes in rather than casts out. The God who pursues us and claims us as worthy, just as we are, even if we can't see ourselves as worthy. As Father Richard Rohr, has said, talking about this unexpected God, more often than not, we see what we expect to see. And I'll be honest with you, as challenging as it might be, I'm grateful for this reminder today that God is bringing life out of death, even when I can't see it, or it's not the way I expect it to be. I'm grateful because the events unfolding all around us, in our politics, in our country, in our city, in our world, it feels too many to name individually, but the injustice, the use of fear as a tool of control, the demagoguery, the white supremacy, the transphobia, all of it feels a whole lot like death. And I'm not even the target of any of it. But darn it, if I'm not standing on the side of the road, cloak in hand, shouting, "Hosanna, save us now," wanting nothing more than for Jesus to just overthrow the whole system. This is me, as one person put it, waiting with a mile-long list of expectations for a mighty king to come down the mountain and rock our world. And when Jesus doesn't do it the way that I expect, I don't know about you, but for me, cynicism begins to take root, and my fear is that there is nothing there. But if the triumphal entry and these days that follow remind us of anything, it's that even when we can't see it, God is pulling life out of death. It reminds us that so often love looks different than we expect or think it should. And we must never presume that we see, but always be open and ready to see anew. To see the way that God is at work, that love is moving, sometimes beyond our expectations, beyond our shoulds and our wants, beyond our imaginations, even beyond the certainty of death. So welcome to Holy Week. Here we are. Palm branches in hand, with our shouts of Hosanna, save us. And here is our unexpected God. Blessed is the one who comes to die so that we might live. Amen.